There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad you're along. Second hour of the show here on a Friday. And coming up this hour, take some calls. Also, 6.5 stories with Dalton Orwig. And time now to check in with our buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and talk some precious metal with me, man. Hey.
Yeah, how's it going, Sean?
Going good. Let's talk about this, because during the news break, you said, hey, you check out prices are starting to move here on precious metals.
It's been really interesting over the last several days. Silver has been jumping, you know, 25, 35, 45 cents, just boom up, boom down, back and forth. And a lot of people have been trying to figure out what the heck's going on. I mean, yesterday silver was over $16 an ounce.
Oh, wow.
It's been a long time since it's done that. Silver or gold is holding well over $1,300 an ounce. And again, been quite a while since that's happened. So we've had a lot of people coming in, kicking tires, looking at all the different silver options they have, everything from just strictly bullion some of those cooler pieces of silver we have here at the shop.
And you've talked to me over the years, and actually I do not own any gold. I do own silver that you've directed me to over the years, and you always said, Sean, this is a better move. There's more growth in this possible. It's a better buy for you. Are you still recommending that to me?
Well, I certainly am. And, you know, for people with a huge investment portfolio that they want to diversify, then yeah, gold is a big help, and they can certainly do that. But for most of us out there, silver is the way to go. You know, you can buy a piece of silver for under $20, so you're not breaking your own personal budget this week.
Right.
At the same time, stacks up nicely, and the potential in my mind is huge, because during the last election cycle, silver hit almost $50 an ounce. Right now, it's around 16. That's a triple value change there. So who doesn't want to triple their money, right?
I'm in. I like it. And if somebody wants to come in who's never bought precious metals before, I can guarantee you this, y'all. I've dealt with the folks at Mobile Bay Coins. Y'all do a good job of kind of walking us through it, explaining all of it, showing how it's done. And I appreciate that.
Well, we try to. You know, we want people to be comfortable and happy with us, you know, so they can be repeat customers, so they can be our friends. You know, I want people to see me on the street and want to buy me a beer, not want to throw rocks at me. So we try to make everybody as comfortable as we can here at the shop.
Hey, y'all go by and see what I'm talking about. Give them directions, Angelo.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. And by the way, that's well away from the Mardi Gras excitement, so you don't have to worry about that. You can always call us at 725-1590 or go on to Facebook and like and follow Mobile Bay Coins.
Hey, thanks, Angelo.
Have a good weekend, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins. I do want to remind y'all, we have the links up on our Facebook page and on the Twitter feed, and I've gotten actually emails from a couple different groups out here and individuals that are like putting together more throws to take to Family of the Fallen and their float project. We had talked about this. This float that will roll at the head of the floral parade. So a week from tomorrow. Tonight, by the way, order of Inca. What's up, Inca?
Mm-hmm.
So that's tonight, but this is next weekend, March 2nd, daytime parade, floral parade. The first float in that parade will be the Family of the Fallen float. There are 27 people on there, so it's nine families that have lost a loved one either to being killed or severely injured in the line of duty. These are all law enforcement. Mobile Police Department, departments nearby. So it's all local folks, local law enforcement, and their families. And if you look at the website, familyofthefallen.org, you'll see the families involved. You'll see those officers that have been lost in the line of duty. Well, here's how the charity works. 501c3, and they're doing all this. 100% volunteer staff. All the money goes to helping out these families. And what they're doing for them on this, what, 3 days before Fat Tuesday on Mardi Gras Saturday. They're putting them on a float. Here's what it says on their website. One outlet of support we are providing is based on traditions of our historic Mardi Gras. We conduct events during the Mardi Gras Festival, culminating in a float ride during the day parade for children and the surviving spouse, partner, and parents of the fallen officer. This fun-filled event allows the families to interact with the Mardi Gras and Mardi Gras participants and engage them in a positive experience. Our hope is to allow, even if for a short time, a fun and festive activity for these families, so they know the community remains grateful to them and for the officer's ultimate sacrifice. So these families are going to be on the float. Okay, they have got, this group's gotten the float. The float has been given to them to use during the floral parade. That's there. What we're trying to do is make sure these families have every throw and maybe more than they could conceivably throw off that float. We're trying to make sure they have a fantastic day riding in Mardi Gras. And a big part of that, of course, is something for them to throw. Here's how it works. Cash donations, check, money order, or physical donations of, you want to go buy beads and cups and moon pies and all that for them to throw. Those can be dropped off at Mobile Police Headquarters, right there on Government across from Whataburger, Precinct 2 and Precinct 4. So those three places, Precinct 2, Precinct 4, and MPD Headquarters, they're all taking the donations. In addition, if you go to Gulf Coast Beads, Chuck McKay, you can say, hey, I want to purchase these beads, these cups, these moon pies, or whatever, to donate to that float. He'll say, okay, he knows what you're talking about. He'll take them, and you'll actually get them at his cost. He'll put them aside, and then the fallen family of the fallen folks will stop by, pick those up, and load the float a week from tomorrow for those families riding in Mardi Gras at the head of the floral parade. So more information on our website or our Facebook page or Twitter feed, or go familyofthefallen.org. A reminder, they're taking your donations right now, like right now, money throws at Precinct 2, and Headquarters for Mobile Police Department, and also by stopping at the Gulf Coast Beads. And then I got a note this morning, Wild Malvillians, one of the groups that marches on Joe Kane Day, mm-hmm. They have an event already coming up at Callahan's Irish Social Club on Sunday night. It's one of their, one of their event things happening. And you can stop by and donate the throws there as well. Okay, so this is going to be going on at Callahan's Irish Social Club, which is not a bad place to stop in on a Sunday evening. And here it is, from 5 to 6 p.m. So if you can get by Callahan's from 5 to 6 p.m. on Sunday, the Wild Marvillians group is going to be collecting those throws as well, and they will deliver those throws to Mobile Police Headquarters the following morning.
That's awesome.
There you go. So a couple, more than a couple, several ways to help, and we'd love for you to do that. Any more questions or information, you can always text us here, ring us here, and we'll let you know. 343-0106. All right, so it is a Friday. We have not done this in forever.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Forever. This is something that maybe 3 weeks?
Yeah, and the reason is nothing crazy is going on.
It's a lovely thing is there's no reason to do 6.5 stories because everybody's behaved themselves well out there. But let's see if we can strike this back up and get the band fired up. I said 6.5 stories. They still remember your theme song.
In tune and everything.
So it is 6.5 stories with Dalton Orwig. This is when he rounds up and he shepherds in these stories that I have missed this week on the internet and brings them to us.
Yeah, I can't believe you missed this first one. I can't.
Okay.
You know, we got Elfapalooza on Christmas.
Yes, yes, yes.
Try to break the world record for most elves in one location.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Well, in Germany last Saturday, they tried to break another record, similar record, but not the same. In Germany, let me see the town name. It's, and I'm going to say this perfectly correct, Lochringen. Germany.
Well, I'm not here to correct you. It sounds great to me.
Yeah, okay, sounds good. Well, their goal on Saturday was to break the world record for the largest group of people dressed as Smurfs. The largest gathering of Smurfs ever.
I've got to know right now, where was the previous? Was there a record?
There was.
They were trying to break a previous record of number of people dressed as Smurfs.
Yeah, the previous record was in the United Kingdom, set back in 2009. I don't know if it had been attempted between 2009 and this year, but that was 2,510 people, or Smurfs, that arrived in the United Kingdom back in 2009. Now, this group, they call themselves Da Tradition Severian. I can't say it. My German, not good. I mean, right. I got the last name Orwig.
Yeah, you should do better. You should do better there.
Can't do it. Anyway, it's a town near the border of Switzerland in Germany.
Okay.
But they did have strict rules, they said here, in order to be counted. Participants could not show any non-blue skin. They could dress as
Who
Papa
sets
Smurf.
The rules for the...
I don't know if the Guinness Book...
The International Smurf Committee? Or,
or whoever set the first record, I guess, would have the claim to to set the ground rules.
All
but
right.
This is some Guinness Book of World Records stuff here. So they were trying to be official. You could dress like Papa Smurf, of course, with the red cap and the white beard, or a Smurfette if you're if you prefer to. I don't know if you identify as a Smurfette or a Papa Smurf, with the blonde hair and a white skirt or dress...
Uh-huh.
They said the normal Smurfs were okay, too. You could dress up like them. But some characters, like the evil wizard Gargamel, strictly off limits.
What, nobody could do Gargamel?
Nobody could do Gargamel.
Oh, finally, I found... Can you say where is this taking place again?
This was in Germany.
From Germany! Okay, thank you. It took me a while. I don't know what had happened to that.
So they everybody got dressed in their blue paint. I don't know if they went full body with the blue paint, but they showed up on Saturday. And I told you the previous record was 2,510. On Facebook, the group said that 2,762 Smurfs showed up. So it appears that they did break the record. Waiting now on the Record Institute for Germany to go ahead and verify that number. They even gave certificates to each of the Smurfs that showed up. So, and I guess that's not the only Smurf world record that's been broken before. In Wisconsin, they said that the largest collection of Smurf-themed memorabilia was set in 2014, 6,320 Smurf items.
So, all like those little hard plastic characters or just different?
I'm not sure. They just say Smurf-themed memorabilia. And, you know, they said they gave a certificate to the participants. They missed the Smurf-tificate. You give a Smurf-tificate to these participants.
That would be correct. That's Smurfalicious. And it's a very Smurfy first 6.5 story. Let's run to the break and come back.
Okay.
And then we'll get into it. And I'm sure you're baiting me for me to tell the audience that thing about the Smurfs.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, totally.
I might do that. I don't think I've ever
it's a good time.
Done that.
With AOC and Bernie.
I wrote a paper at the University of Alabama before I graduated about the Smurfs. I'll explain a little bit of that when we get back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 121 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Friday. Part two of this on Midday Mobile, 6.5 stories with Dalton Orwig. I said it's 6.5 stories with Dalton Orwig. This is where he brings out all the stories that he caught online that I missed. And by the way, thank you from the text line. This is what we need to know. This heads up here that the says breaking news, and they're letting us break it first. Very good. First off, so breaking news.
Okay.
I don't even have a break. Right. Because every cable channel, everything they do, I mean, like, everything's breaking news.
Dun, 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 dun,
dun. You ever get that effect? Like, you're like, you just told me this thing's breaking news, and it's like a two-week-old story. But the breaking news, the Wienermobile is rolling in the MOJ in the Maids of Jubilee Parade next Friday in Fairhope. This person, this unnamed texter, says they're the Wiener Ambassador for the event. Maybe we can connect you with one of the hot doggers who will be driving.
Awesome.
Their handles are Habanero Haley and Ketchup Kyle. Okay. So I will dig into this more and see about this Wiener Mobile in the parade story.
They better be throwing
please wieners. Tell me they're throwing meat products.
They have to.
Oh, not the Wiener. They said the mini Wiener Mobile. They wanted me to cry. I don't want to be an actor.
Right.
So the mini Wienermobile, we'll call it Lil Wiener.
Yeah.
Wiener.
Must be. Never mind.
Yeah. It's going to be rolling. So there we go. So we're at 6.5 story. Yeah, the side note, because I don't want to run out of time because we've got a lot to do here. Maybe we can talk about it later. But so one of the papers I had to write, or that I chose to write at the University of Alabama,
yes,
was a discussion of the politics of the cartoon The Smurfs.
Yes.
And, you know, the obvious tip of the hat to Karl Marx and communist ideology of that show.
Mm-hmm.
which that I was
already you had put way more thought into the Smurfs than I ever had. Which is the point.
I was not charmed by their happy faces. Where they, the idea of being told what you did in society and not being able to choose and not having freedom of choice was like a hell on Smurf Earth for me.
Yeah.
So I got into the whole story, and the guy who came up with it kind of analyzed his background and came up with the fact that Gargamel is always looking to make gold, right? And he is the capitalist system.
Yep.
Azrael the cat is the military he uses to effect change on the good Smurfs, and A on the paper.
So, yeah,
so
I mean,
there we go.
That's pretty awesome.
They probably did it just to get me out of there. All right, probably so we're at story number two right now.
Yeah, story number two. So I don't know if there's been a Smurf-themed cruise that set sail before, but, you know, themed cruises are an actual thing.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
I've seen Alex Trebek. He actually has a cruise, and that's kind of just like hang out with Alex Trebek.
Right.
That's that one. There's a Star Trek-themed cruise. Shatner's not on that one, so it's just kind of the minor Star Trek characters that show up on that one. Also saw the Moody Blues cruise. They do one every now and then. Kid Rock had one, the Kiss Cruise. But now there is something for everyone.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of the show Golden Girls.
I'm not, but go ahead. Yes.
There will be, in 2020, a Golden Girls-themed cruise that will set sail.
That seems like a no-brainer. Seems like that would have been the first one they ever did.
Yeah, you'd think so. And it looks like none of the Golden Girls will be on the cruise. I'm not sure how many years. I know Betty White's still alive.
Yes.
But this will set sail in February 2020. They're leaving from Miami, which makes sense. That's sure. Where the Golden Girls live. And going to stop in Key West, Cozumel. They say you could dive into the 80s sitcom on a five-night cruise inspired by your favorites Blanche, Dorothy, Sophia, and Rose.
Yeah, they my favorites.
Join other Golden Girls fans for a once-in-a-lifetime gathering.
Yeah, it's because you're so old that this might be the last chance.
Lifetime. First time and last
yes.
time. They say the trip will include Golden Girls trivia and a bar crawl. Be careful there. Dorothy's bingo, the Rusty Anchor karaoke party, and one night in St. Olaf dance party.
This is dangerous ground I walk on making fun, because if Mrs. Sullivan's tuned in at this point,
yeah.
I will get bonked on the head with something when I walked in. She and her friends, they're big Golden Girls fans.
Oh, well, if they want to go, tickets, not cheap, range from $986 to $1,181. Maybe that's cheap for cruise.
But for a once-in-a-lifetime cruise
for
with
an
the Golden
opportunity
Girls
like
that aren't
this?
There? Oh, wow.
Right.
Who wouldn't pay that?
So the Golden Girls cruise set in sail February 2020. Go ahead and put that on your calendar.
I'm doing it right now.
Show up for that. Next headline relates to those that are probably already in their golden years,
okay.
Maybe fans of Golden Girls. The FDA warns against infusing young people's blood to fight aging.
Yeah, see, I thought we figured that out somewhere after the Renaissance.
Yeah.
But it seems to be a thing that's popped back up where people think they can take the blood of young people and put it in their blood and then they will get younger.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's exactly. Actually, there's a show on HBO, Silicon Valley, and they have one of the scenes in that is this guy, and he's supposed to be really rich, like mm-hmm. Bezos or Elon Musk,
right.
And he's infusing the blood of one of his interns to try to stay youthful. But the FDA now says, simply put, we're concerned that some patients are being preyed upon by unscrupulous actors, lots of talk about unscrupulous actors these days,
right.
Touting treatments of plasma from young donors as cures and remedies. One company called Ambrosia charges $8,000 for people to receive an infusion of blood from young people. FDA didn't name any company in particular, but they said such treatments have no proven clinical benefits for the uses for which these clinics are advertising them and are potentially harmful. There are reports of bad actors charging thousands of dollars for infusions that are unproven and not guided by evidence from adequate and well-controlled trials.
Okay, so $8,000 for how much blood?
Well, it doesn't say the specific amount of blood, but it infuses the blood plasma, I guess. I don't know a whole lot about blood, but that's what they're looking for is the plasma.
Mm-hmm.
And they
plasma is the nougat inside the blood.
Okay, that's the good stuff. That's what the people are looking for.
Yeah.
The FDA referenced reports of young people's blood plasma being touted as a treatment for conditions ranging from normal aging and memory loss to serious diseases like dementia, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's, heart disease, or post-traumatic stress disorder, which we're looking at this and laughing. We're like, you know, and it is funny, but there probably are people out there suffering from some of this stuff that are just to be taken advantage of.
Well, because they're suffering so badly that, yes, anything that might cure them would be great. I would just caution you on the blood transfer. Okay.
Okay.
But I'm sure I'm getting 10 emails right now. Why I'm wrong, that's fine. We'll discuss it. I'm always open-minded. I'll learn new things.
All right. Well, something a little light. Remember we were talking breakdancing this morning?
You got that right.
How it might be added to the 2024 Olympics in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not the only old sport that's getting some new blood. Yeah, so to speak, new blood infused into the old sport. Lightsaber dueling officially becomes recognized by French Fencing Federation.
Nerds finally have an outlet.
They finally have an outlet. France's Fencing Federation has officially recognized lightsaber dueling, placing it alongside the traditional disciplines of épée, foil, and saber. I'm not sure if I said épée right. They said the lightsabers aren't actually like the ones wielded to lethal effect in the Star Wars movie.
Oh, they're not real lightsabers. Who would have figured?
Not real lightsabers.
That you could control a piece of laser and make it stop and not go on for... Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, not real. So if you're looking for some real lightsabers,
they don't exist.
French fencing, not for you.
Okay.
The point of this all is, I guess, to get youngsters away from the video games, is what they say. If they add lightsabers...
That'd be cool if you could make them move, physically move their bodies doing something.
What's cooler already than fencing, though? I mean, it's basically, you know, it's the Arya sword from Game of Thrones in your...
Let me tell you, if you might think that, if you ever go watch fencing, it's cool, but I don't know that the ladies are drawn to the people fencing.
Young
men out there looking to attract ladies, probably not fencing.
Well, a real man would take off the mask.
That's true.
Come on. Play with your face out
then
there.
And then the women will think you're winking at them. You'll say, no, I just got jabbed in the eye.
That's right, yeah. They said the lightsabers being used for the duels here on Earth are made from rigid polycarbonate with LED lighting, and in some cases, the proper sound effects are built in.
So it's a toy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Basically, the French Fencing Federation has added toys to their... and who knows how long fencing has been around? That's got to be one of those thousands and thousands of years thing, right?
No, I mean, it's one of the martial arts, not, you know, the things that are holdovers from when we had to learn those things.
So how long till that's in the Olympics? Lightsaber dueling.
You know, I really didn't need another excuse not to watch Summer Olympics, because I am a Winter Olympics person. I don't care about that. But just the threat of breakdancing and toy lightsaber battles, I'm out. I free up time every 4 years. I don't have to watch that. All right, coming right back. More 6.5 stories with Dalton Norwig. Lord knows where we will go next. Y'all stay close.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Friday style. You know what happens on a Friday? It hadn't happened in a while, but it's back. It's 6.5 stories with Dalton Norwood. It's when Dalton rounds up all those great stories I missed during the week.
Yeah.
Like Smurfs and Golden Girls and...
Young Blood.
Blood aging, transfers.
Yep. Transfusions.
These should be our normal headlines during the week. Hey, Kelly, if you're listening, this is what we need to lead with. But we get them all here on a Friday. Where are we on our list?
Yeah, we're on story number 4.
Okay.
I talked a lot about the Smurfs and Golden Girls this morning. and Star Wars with the lightsaber dueling.
Yes.
So maybe we're on story number 5. But, you know, I'm not sure if Star Wars, if they ever came out with a comic book following the movies. I'm sure there's been
Star Wars comics. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, this next comic book, it was planned and even written out, but it's not going to come to fruition, it looks like. It's a DC comic, which, of course, DC Comics, one of the biggest names, if not the biggest name in comic books. But they had to cancel the release of a comic book that was coming up entitled Second Coming, featured Jesus as the sidekick of a superhero named Sun Man. So not only putting Jesus in a comic book, but making him the sidekick.
Okay, so Jesus he's coming back?
Yes, the second coming of Jesus.
Second coming, right, so you return.
And not the main player in this comic book, but the second billing to Sun Man.
And DC had gone to the point where they had already worked this up before they maybe thought this wasn't a good idea.
Yeah, they were ready to publish, but a bunch of people online heard wind of the idea and had it canceled. They said it was blasphemous.
Well, it is blasphemous, but you know, it's only blasphemous for this goes back to all the uncomfortable opinions I have. It's blasphemous to me, blasphemous to Christians out there, but And would I protest them? Yeah, probably would, but they still have the right to do something that I would never let in my house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a great idea, but they got the right to do it.
They do have the right. DC, a big company like that making this decision, kind of interesting. It was supposed to be released March 6th under, I guess, a branch of DC called DC Vertigo. They say it's comics with more of a graphic or an adult tone. The writer, Mark Russell, he said, "My goal is always to write the best books I can about things I have a deep personal attachment to. Publishers have goals of their own. Sometimes our goals complement each other's. Sometimes they don't. It's okay to admit it when they don't and go separate ways." He asked for the rights back to Second Coming because he's still trying to make this actually happen. And DC gracefully agreed to give him his rights back. So the people that were complaining about it online, I guess it was centered on Jesus returning to Earth and teaming up with Sun Man to complete his, quote, most holy mission by God and, quote, learn what it takes to be the true Messiah of mankind. Citizen Go is this online petition website, and they launched a petition back in January. And I guess this Citizen Go, they say it promotes campaigns geared towards defending religious beliefs.
That's fine. That's fine. They can mobilize themselves to do it that way, too. But did they, I want to know, did they read? I don't know. This thing could be beyond blasphemous, have no value whatsoever. But did they read? It sounds like maybe there's a little nuance to it, too, that it's a...
Yeah, it sounds like maybe he wasn't trying to be blasphemous, but make, you know, some people maybe make Jesus cool again by throwing him in the comics.
Well, maybe there's a, you know, and I see things. I know that's going to run afoul a lot of people, but, and I don't know what this, how it was laid out, but if it was just somewhat edgy and got people interested in that story and brought them to an understanding, I can't render opinion until I read it, but I just wonder if the other groups did the same. Did they find out before? Because sometimes there's some things that are not traditional. Just because they're not traditional doesn't always mean they're blasphemous.
Right.
So, I mean, but I got to reserve judgment because I hadn't read this. It might be a big pile of crap.
I don't know if these people read it, but more than 234,000 people signed that petition to keep this from actually reaching the DC comic book shelves. And the guy that colors in the comic book. He said,
"What do you do? I color."
Okay, the illustrator. That's right. That's the word I was looking for.
In the comic.
he told fans in a tweet they are looking forward to announcing the new home for Sun Man, Jesus, and their family soon.
Okay, very good. So, any of you out there that are graphic artists or professional illustrators, we're going to call you the people that color stuff in.
No offense meant by that, but kind of. Let's talk about drug busting criminals.
Okay, good.
That's a staple of 6.5 stories. You know, El Chapo, he was in the news a lot over the last few, decade, I guess, over the last 10 years or so. Authorities raided a Pennsylvania stash house and found an American alligator guarding the drugs. And wouldn't you know, they went ahead and named that alligator El Chapo. Because he's guarding the drugs. A 3-foot-long baby alligator, maybe they could have picked a bigger alligator to guard these drugs, didn't do his job very well because the authorities did get to him. They said he was found patrolling the Chester County home on February 8th. It was full of heroin, fentanyl, crack cocaine, and marijuana. Chester County District Attorney Tom Hogan said, quite frankly, as we could tell from these drug dealers, the alligator may have been the brains of the operation. That's got to sting these criminals. He said El Chapo could grow to as large as 10 feet long. He was transferred to Brandywine Zoo in Delaware. And after he finishes his quarantine, I guess to see if he comes down from the fentanyl and the crack, then they're going to ship him to his final home in Florida.
The masterminds of this were whom?
They said just 3 Pennsylvania criminals. Yeah. No names here.
Yeah, because they're so stupid. It might have been screenwriters that put the alligator there. That has a kind of a sexy feel to it. Oh, it's an alligator guarding it.
Yeah.
If I'm a criminal mastermind, I'm going to guard my stash. A cold-blooded animal that goes almost completely dormant when the temperatures fall between below 50 to 50, 55 and below. Probably not my number one choice as a guard animal, but who knows? I'm just a radio guy.
In Pennsylvania.
What do I know?
It's never cold in Pennsylvania.
You know, it goes below 55 and they're cold-blooded. And while they're still alive, they move very slowly.
And it's below 55 in Pennsylvania 10 months of the year.
Correct. Just checking on their... Great idea.
But okay. El Chapo.
El Chapo. Listen, they got the name. That's good. It's just the rest of it that was stupid.
Yeah, that brings us to story 6.5. It's where I give you part of the story and you text, fill in the rest. Sean will give it his best shot.
It's like a Mad Lib, y'all.
Yeah, like a Mad Lib or a discussion question. Mm-hmm. So I'll just read you the headline. Louisiana man accused of breaking into home while wearing a blank. What was Louisiana Man? Sulphur, Louisiana, if that helps.
Oh, I know. I've been through Sulphur a couple times.
So maybe you know what a criminal in Sulphur, Louisiana, what he would wear while breaking into a home.
What he would... I mean, no, it's not going to double up on the alligator thing. A nutria hat. What he would wear while breaking into a home.
See, I was thinking an Ed Orgeron suit. That would be wrong.
Down in Sulphur, he would wear a Drew Brees jersey.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know. So what does he wear?
Okay, well, this Louisiana man arrested for breaking into a home while wearing a gorilla suit.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes complete sense.
Wearing a gorilla suit to break into homes. The investigation began back in February 13th, so the day before Valentine's Day. Maybe he needed to get some gifts for his significant other or mm-hmm. something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Sulphur Police Department got a call about a suspicious person in an all-black costume walking the streets and going into yards. Officers arrived on the scene and learned that a male subject was looking through the windows of homes and sneaking through yards. Officers located the suspect, who's later identified as Jeremy Moran, very close to what he actually is, a moron, and gave him verbal commands to stop. He then fled from the officers into a home, still wearing the gorilla suit.
Right, right.
Police established a perimeter around the home. I'm not sure if they got out their tranquilizer guns or if they were just, you know, prepared to apprehend a normal human being.
Right.
The police established the perimeter and then observed the back door opening. They thought that he fled the residence, so they abandoned that home and began looking around the neighborhood or that area on foot for Moran. But after a short time, these Sulphur police officers learned that he had actually not left the house. So then they began searching the home, and Moran was found wearing that black gorilla suit and hiding under a mattress in the home.
He still was in the...
Never took it off, and it wasn't over yet. Officers attempted to place him in handcuffs, but with his gorilla strength, he was able to break free from that, had one wrist cuffed, and began physically resisting officers. I believe still in the gorilla suit, police did regain control of Moran and successfully placed him under arrest.
But they cuffed him with the gorilla suit on?
I don't know if they pulled the sleeves up or if they made him take the gorilla suit off, but there's no mention of him ever being out of the gorilla suit.
And get ready for more like Bigfoot reports from down in Sulphur, Louisiana now. Yeah.
I hope he was walking around.
I don't see him.
I hope he was walking around like Bigfoot, but they thought it was just a man wearing a black costume.
So where do you get, just a side note, I guess I can go. Where do you get a gorilla suit anymore? I mean, if you watch TV growing up in the 80s, like everybody could just go, whenever they needed a gorilla suit, somebody would just have a gorilla suit.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have ever been, maybe I have, but I can't recall having ever been somewhere that had gorilla suits for purchase.
Maybe Amazon. Here. I mean, I'm sure that gorilla suits
are
pretty popular around Halloween. I'm not sure gorilla suits.
Well, I mean, I know that they're popular, but I'm just saying, have you ever seen one? Have you ever been somewhere there's a selection of different sizes of gorilla suits?
No, I can't recall, all the way from small gorilla suits.
Holy snap, how much do they cost?
Oh, expensive,
now, there's cheap ones. This one's designated as an adult gorilla suit. No, not that kind of adult. Adult gorilla suit, $79.99. But I'm looking at this one from IdeaScape, $4,000 for this gorilla suit. $4,000. So, and you get down the bow, kick off with that, and you throw them on, we bid you good night. Coming right back to wrap it up here on Midday Mobile, Paul Feinbaum Show on after that. Y'all have a great one. Thank you, man. Welcome back.
Yeah.
Single shot rifle and a one-eyed dog. Yonder come our kinfolk in the moonlight. Louisiana Saturday night.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Joined by Ben Kearns from Taylor Martino, attorney there, and joining us again to talk about what's happening here. There's more stories, Ben, than probably anything else I hear on the road, distracted driving. Sometimes just fender benders, sometimes very tragic stories.
Right, and that's what I want to talk about. And, you know, distracted driving, but specifically I want to talk about texting and driving and how dangerous that is. And I got a few stats for you, Sean. 2016, 3,450 people were killed due to distracted driving.
How many?
3,450 people.
Wow.
In 2015, 391,000 people were injured in accidents due to distracted driving. These stats are coming from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. According to the NHTSA, you are 23 times more likely to get in an accident when you text and drive. When you look at a text message, you're oftentimes looking at that message from in between 3 to 5 seconds. You can travel up to several hundred yards in that time period.
Wow.
This is really, really dangerous.
And this is, you know, this is interesting too, because you were telling me, we were talking before we went on today, and you said, okay, Sean, you got different kinds of distraction.
Sure.
And you pointed out texting is at least two of them here. And, yeah. And because not only are your eyes off the road, your mind's off the road.
Right. There's three different types of distracted driving. First, visually, you're taking your eyes off the road.
Right. I can't look at that text.
You can't
look at the road at the same time.
You can't do both at the same time. And second, you're taking your hands off the wheel because you're holding the phone. Sometimes you're using one hand to send the text. Sometimes you're using two and driving with your knees. Third, you're taking your mind off of driving.
Sure.
So when you're texting and driving, you're doing all three of these things. You're taking your eyes off the road, you're taking your hands off the wheel, and you're taking your mind off of driving. You're concentrating on something else.
I didn't think about it that way. Three different ways you're disengaging from what your job is.
It's extremely dangerous. I've got a bunch of automobile accident cases, and almost all of them are rear-end collisions.
Now, what does that tell you? Somebody who's seen this before, what does that tell you?
Right. Every single one of those, the driver was distracted.
Right.
We know that for sure. In most of those, the driver was texting or otherwise using a cellular device.
This is the majority of them.
That's correct.
You say you've got evidence of that. That's interesting. And, you know, we were talking before we went on it. I was hit the other day, and I got hit on the side there. And I was wondering about that. How do you look at that? I mean, you don't have to give away all the secrets, but sure. how do you say you've got evidence of that?
Right. So we can subpoena phone records and text message records. And we can tell, you know, if you were texting and driving right before the wreck and right around when the wreck occurred. We can also tell if you have a habit of texting and driving. And that's one of my favorite questions. Looking at somebody's phone records, asking them in a deposition. So it looks like you sent text messages at 7:58, 8:01, 8:03, 8:05, and 8:07. Would you agree that you're a pretty proficient texter and driver? This is the time that you're normally driving to work. You just admitted that. And they have to say, yes, I am. You know?
And so if somebody has had this injury, had an accident, somebody's hit them, and I'm just kind of reflecting back to last week, and you think, for us, we don't know how to prove that, but
right.
Y'all do.
We do. And we have the authority to go out and subpoena those phone records. But whether someone was texting and driving or not, you don't get in a rear-end collision or a T-bone collision unless you're distracted. A driver in the state of Alabama has a statutory duty to keep a proper lookout and not follow too closely. And we, as drivers, at the safe drivers in the community, we have a statutory right to rely on other drivers following the law and obeying the traffic rules. So, you know, there's a lot of us out there probably listening that that have texted and drive before.
Yeah.
And, you know, the law isn't just that you can't text and drive. You're not allowed to write, send, or read a text message. You can't otherwise access cellular data. But there's some of us, we don't send text messages when we drive, but we expect other people to obey the law.
Yes.
You know, for those of us out there that send text messages while we drive, we need to treat others the way we expect to be treated. We want other people to be safe.
Wait a second. You're going back to golden rule and kindergarten stuff on this, right?
But the law is about the golden rule. That is the essence of the law.
You mentioned that the job is we have to be vigilant of what's going on around us and be aware. So that person who will say, let's say that, I didn't see you stopping or whatever. That's not my responsibility.
Well, ask that question again, Sean.
If I'm stopping and somebody rear-ends me.
Sure.
And they'll say, well, I didn't see you stopping.
Sure.
It's
no excuse.
Their responsibility.
It's no excuse. The rear-end collisions that I have, my client was obeying the law in every respect. Stopped at a stop sign, stopped at a red light, yielding to oncoming traffic, merging onto Airport Boulevard or something like that. Doing the right thing, it's no excuse that you just didn't think they were going to stop. you've got to be keeping a proper lookout, and you've got to be anticipating wrecks all the time because they happen constantly. Alabama is one of the most dangerous states in the country to drive. We have one of the highest fatality rates in the country.
Is it really?
It is, yeah.
It's like you've been following me around. You said, merging onto airport years ago, I had somebody crush into me coming off of 65 to get onto airport. There's that time, Ben, where you look in your rearview mirror and you know that this is getting ready to happen.
Sure.
And you have no way to stop it. That is scary.
It is scary. And what we need to do is we need to be more careful about what we're doing when we're driving. We got to pay attention. You know, driving distracted like this is kind of similar to firing a gun at random, except that in this case, the bullet weighs 2,000 pounds. And you fire a gun at random, there might be a person standing in the way of the bullet, but you drive a car while you're distracted, then you're going to end up driving into oncoming traffic.
Wow.
It's extremely dangerous.
Well, I didn't ever think about it that way, but it's the same, I mean, the same idea of lethality of that, even in a bigger way with that 2,000-pound car. All right. Somebody's listening to us right now, Ben. Uh-huh. And if you're just joining us, Ben Kearns with Taylor Martino, my guest, and they said, somebody hit me, whether it's rear end or whatever it was.
Sure.
I got a feeling they were distracted. I mean, this is the kind of stuff when they sit down with you, or are you going to ask, how does that Q&A go with you?
I mean, okay, so, you know, I've got to, I want to know where they've been, what they've been doing, because, you know, as a lawyer, I've got to tell a story for my client, you know, and I want to hear what they were doing from the time they woke up to the time the wreck occurred, and then I want to hear how their body reacted to the collision. Mm-hmm. What did they see and hear before the collision took place? I need to know lots of facts and lots of details. I try to be very thorough in my intake interviews. You know, if it appears that you've been injured by a distracted driver, which, I mean, how does a wreck occur unless someone wasn't distracted?
Right.
I've got to get on getting the subpoenaing the cell phone records as quickly as possible. That's why, you know, if you've been in a wreck and you've been injured, you need to talk to a lawyer soon, because I need to go after those cell phone records. Now, the problem is that there's a couple cell phone companies that don't keep records past a couple years. So the sooner you get in and talk to a lawyer, the sooner we can get on finding out whether or not the other driver was texting and driving. And this is pretty crucial for your case, because obviously in an automobile accident, you can make a claim for negligence. However, if someone's texting and driving, you may be able to make a claim for recklessness, which includes punitive damages. Now, recklessness includes a choice. When you text and drive, you've made a choice. When you're simply negligent, you're not just making a choice, you're just not paying attention.
Okay.
What we're looking for is a choice here. This increases the amount of damages that you're able to get.
All right. So somebody's in that situation. They've been hit. Sounds like a time is of the essence. They need to talk with you. So, Ben, how do we get in touch with you?
You can call me at Taylor Martino Law Firm, 251-433-3131. I want to talk to you. I want to meet you in person. We'll have a meeting. My meetings take about an hour and a half, but I try to be thorough from the very start. Got to get a lot of information. Got to find out how I can investigate your case.
All right. See Ben or the many other voices at Taylor Martino. Just Google Taylor Martino. If you ever need more information, you can always drop an email to me, Sean@fmtalk1065.com. Ben, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others. We'll